Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If your roof starts to leak or your floors really squeak, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home by calling 888 Money Pit.
The Money Pit is presented by Deutsch Coatings. Now here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And we are here to help you take on the projects you want to get done around your house. Do you think of your house as a money pit? Well, I think of my house as a money pit, and it's in pretty good shape, but I call it a money pit because it's a house I love. I mean, in my case, it's been in my family for many, many, many years, and you may feel that way about your house. We want to give you the advice that you need to spend wisely on that home. We want to teach you how to take care of it so it can take care of you. And listening to this program is a great start. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about one of my favorite appliances. Leslie, is this one of your favorite appliances? A garbage disposer?
Do you know that I've never had one until the ski house in Vermont? And I love
and
using
now
it.
That's it. You're ruined now.
Now I'm hooked.
You're hooked. That's right.
I'm like, just put that down the drain and turn the water on. Look at
yeah,
this.
Right. You're like, oh, I can't do that at home, can I? I got to get a disposer.
Also, I'm not so nervous because the kids are older. So it's like, I think I was always afraid of hands.
The thing is, there are a lot of options in disposers today. And yes, if you've never had one, you get one and you'll never regret it. But we thought it'd be a good time to look at some of those options and tell you what really makes sense and which is just kind of the fluff. So we'll cover that in just a bit.
All right. And also, are you just itching to get your garden growing, but you're wondering when you should start to plant? Well, we're going to have some tips on a few plants that can handle the cold ground now and be ready for a spring harvest in just a bit.
And garages are spaces where most of us store everything but a car. There are rare exceptions, but I mean, let's face it, they're just too attractive to put the stuff that you don't know what else to do with.
I mean, it's the best big closet you've got.
It is. But think about it. And this is what kind of always concerned me. It's a place where so many of us keep toys and toxins side by side. I mean, there's no other place in the house where you do that, right? I mean, you don't have a shelf for toxins on top of the kids' toys, right? But you do in the garage. So you got to be really careful and keep that space cleaned and organized and safe. So we'll give you some tips to do that.
All right. And guys, if you are interested in transforming your kitchen with a granite countertop, we're giving away a kit that can help you do just that in a weekend. It's the LuxRock Solid Surface Granite Countertop Kit. And Tom, you used this for a project at your house and it came out great.
I did. Amazing. Now, in my case, you can put this LuxRock product on top of laminate or on top of any old countertop material. You know, the bathroom sort of soapstone, it works for that. I built a countertop out of plywood and thought, I wonder if I could use LuxRock for this. And I did. And I was having fun with my friends when they looked at it. They'd say, that's granite. I'm like, nope, it's not. It's LuxRock. It's a finish that looks like granite, performs like granite. It's almost as durable as granite, but it's a lot less expensive than granite. So we're going to give a kit away today to one caller that reaches us with their questions. So don't be shy. Reach out one of two ways. You can call us at 1-888-MONEYPIT. That's 888-666-3974. Or you can post your question to moneypit.com/ask. Just click the blue microphone button. That message will come streaming right over to us, and we will toss your name in the Money Pit hard hat to win that LuxRock kit worth $300. Going out to one caller drawn at random. So with that said, let's get to it. Leslie, the calls are already lining up. Who's first?
Heading out to California. Cindy, what is going on? How can we help you?
We have downgraded to a smaller home, and we bought this cute little house that has got this beautiful six-burner gas stove. And the people that built the house put the stove right next to a wooden cabinet, and I can't use somebody turned one burner on against the wall and it caught the cabinet on fire. So I need to find out what I can put against that wall that will either allow me to use the burners on the stove or not be able to use them at all and just have it look pretty.
You know, Leslie, so many folks love to have those very large commercial style stoves today, but there's a lot more to them than you think, because you have all of this additional power in terms of the burners, and also you need better venting, right? You can't use a typical vent. And in Cindy's case here, she's got a serious fire risk. So my thought is this. Tell me if you think this makes sense. First of all, I would get in touch with the manufacturer of the stove, because there will be a specification for installation that will give you step-by-step exactly what has to be done to make sure that the surfaces around this this range are fire-resistant. You know, there are things that that we could suggest, but they may or may not work. You know, putting stainless steel, for example, on this side of the cabinet could help. But then again, it might just heat up and you could burn yourself on it. So I don't want to be able, I don't want to give you any specific advice about how to make the rest of the area that surrounds this fireproof, because I know it does exist. The manufacturers of these types of commercial ranges will have them. You really need to kind of take a step back and see how it should have been installed, and then decide how you can modify your existing kitchen to make it work.
Mike in Little Rock, Arkansas, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you today?
Well, I've been doing some remodeling on my house, and it's been going on since about 2018. I'm kind of doing it piecemeal as I can afford things, and we're getting ready to list it probably later this springtime. And I want to know if I can list it as newly remodeled or freshly remodeled. What would be the best way to list it? Because it has taken me 3-4 years to do it.
I mean, I think it's fair to say that it's newly remodeled. I mean, remodeling doesn't wear out. And if you had an older house, what kinds of projects did you do? What was remodeled here?
Oh, I added a den. I put down new laminated vinyl floors. I put in several pocket doors, added a powder room, changed the bathroom from a tub to a walk-in shower.
How about like newly remodeled and freshly updated? Because that kind of covers it. Realtors are always good at those at all those descriptions, right? But no, I think it's fair. Listen, you know, houses last a lifetime, and the fact that you spent 3 years fixing this up, especially since two of the last 3 years pretty much were slowed down by the pandemic, I think it's fair to say that. I don't think you're misrepresenting anything. And then you could fill in the blanks there, let folks know what you did. In fact, that would give you kind of a leg up on the competition too. We always say that it's a good idea to have an inventory that lists your improvements when you put a house on the market, especially if any of those improvements are energy saving, because that's really attracted the folks today as well. So I think that's certainly fair for you to use those phrases in your listing. And then, of course, you could add some additional detail when you complete any kind of a property sort of inventory where you sort of list the features and benefits of the place and include those types of improvements.
Great. I appreciate that. That's what I'll do.
All right. Good luck with your project. And we hope that you sell it quickly and for a lot of money.
Me too. Thanks a lot.
Everyone should know that drinking water is important to staying hydrated and healthy. Having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about, but unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants right in its tap water.
That's why we are thrilled to be working with AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and is specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. And they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier and mineral boost options.
And its proprietary purification technology is independently tested by IAPMO to NSF and ANSI standards to remove over 80 of the most harmful contaminants, including chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, PFAS, known as forever chemicals, nitrate, and many more. I can truly taste the difference when I compare it with my old water filter. AquaTrue saves you money also. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste.
AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. And today, Money Pit listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatru.com. That's AQUATRU.com and enter code MONEYPIT at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTru water purifier when you go to aquatru.com and use promo code MONEYPIT. Money Pit.
Hey, you want to make our day? Well, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we'll be jumping for joy. Plus, you guys, your feedback helps us make the show even better for you. Just go to moneypit.com/review.
Well, if you'd love to have granite countertops but just can't handle the expense, we're giving away a brand new product from Deich Coatings today that gives you a sparkling granite surface at a fraction of the cost of the real thing.
Yeah, you know what? It's called LuxRock Solid Surface Granite Countertop Kit, and one kit covers 40 square feet of countertop, making it perfect for updating a kitchen or a bathroom. Now, LuxRock, it spreads easily directly over your old countertop, and then it transforms it into a new smooth stone surface that looks and performs just like real granite. And there's 5 color options, so the whole transformation really does just that. It makes your whole kitchen look entirely different, and it takes only 2 days. And it is a completely DIY project. Now, the kit retails for $299. That's $299 at Home Depot, Lowe's, and DeichCoatings.com. But one lucky Money Pit question asker is going to get this kit for free.
So make that you. Reach out to us right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT or post your question at MoneyPit.com/ask.
Karen's on the line with a question about circuit breakers and whether or not we need to keep turning them on and off. Welcome. How can we help you?
You mentioned something earlier on your show about turning circuit breakers on and off and then doing something. I did not catch the whole thing. I had just started watching the show and also checking for water leaks. I'm wondering if you can repeat that information or if it could be on your website.
So many people talk about exercising the circuit breaker. You know, it's like, I don't know if there's really anything to it other than making sure things don't get jammed up and everything is capable of turning on and off in the event that you need to do so. So, like, what do you recommend, Tom? Every, like, 2 or 3 months do it, or, like, once a year?
I think you can turn them on or off every couple of months just to keep things flexible. And then also make sure you check your ground fault circuit breakers. Those are the outlets sometimes with the test and reset buttons, just to make sure they're flexible and operating. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and it certainly won't hurt, and it could definitely help.
It's so funny, the outside ones with the circuit breakers, I only really use it during the holiday time. And anytime I need to, you know, reset it because it's been rainy or whatnot, I always have to use like one end of the plug because it's kind of stiff because I'm not obviously exercising that circuit.
That's right. Yeah.
What about your water? I mean, you should not have that water meter running at all ever. Like, so is it worth it to go outside, check that meter if you've got all the faucets off just to make sure you don't have a leak you don't know about?
Yeah, it's a good idea. So if all the faucets and fixtures are off, yet the water meter is still running, then obviously you're running water somewhere. And the most likely place that would be is a toilet. Typically, a flush valve at the bottom of the tank, if it leaks a little bit, it's going to force the toilet to refill all the time. That's a very common reason for the water meter to be running, even when everything else is off. So it definitely tells you if something is going on.
Well, an easy way to cut down on food waste at home is to install a garbage disposer. You know, there's nothing more convenient than to be able to send leftover fruit and potato peels, veggie stubs, and all kinds of other waste right down the drain.
Yep, and as we said before, it's an appliance that once you own it, you never want to be without one again. So, if you're shopping for one, there are 3 basic questions to consider. First, which type of disposer would work best in your home? What special features are most important to you? And do you have a septic tank?
Okay, so let's start first talking about the different types. Now, garbage disposers come in 2 basic modes, batch feed and continuous feed. A batch feed model is going to operate only when the disposal lid is engaged and the unit is activated. Continuous feed models will operate with the flick of a switch, and then they're going to run until the unit is turned off, and they are way more convenient to use. Now, let's talk about noise levels here, because I'm new to the garbage disposal game. I mean, I've talked about them, I've seen them, I've never actually had one in my home, and so it is always a little jarring when I flip the switch, and it's like, you know, it's loud. So Definitely, the newer models will do a quieter run thanks to sound deadening features similar to newer dishwashing machines. That said, sink style is also going to impact the noise. An inexpensive stainless steel sink may not provide solid support for a heavier, higher-powered model, and an overpowering disposal may cause that surrounding countertop and cabinets to rattle. So you kind of have to balance the different materials and the type of disposal.
Now, the other question to ask yourself is, do you have a septic? Because septic systems that are sized to accommodate the usage of several typical home appliances, including disposers, but you need to avoid placing any solid mineralized items like eggs or seafood shells in the disposer because they could contribute to the accumulation of sludge and impact the effectiveness of the septic system.
Now, let's talk about a disposer getting stuck because sometimes this does happen. So are there any tricks out there to free them up?
Yes. If you buy a disposer, you will find in the box usually what looks like a very oversized kind of angular Allen wrench. And the reason that's in there is because on the very bottom of the disposer, there is a socket. And if the disposer gets jammed up, you stick this Allen wrench in it and you wiggle it back and forth to free it up. My son was cleaning out his fish tank not too long ago, and he got some of the rocks got down the drain into the disposer, and the thing jammed up. And he didn't know what it was going on because he says, "Dad, every time I turn it on, it just makes a noise. I mean, like this hum." He's like, "Yeah, how do you know?" It's like, "Because it's stuck. I know what it sounds like." So I told him, turn the power off, found that Allen wrench, which I said is usually in the cabinet. It's where most people keep it, and wiggle that motor back, that motor back and forth with the key, then take it out, turn it back on, and zzz, look, there you go. Good to go. No charge.
Good tips. I love it.
I love when my kids call me for advice. It's kind of like they have to admit that I know something.
Now, let's talk about a debate. Do you have to run the water? I mean, I am learning that I have to turn the water on when I turn the switch on, and that's what I've always heard. Why not?
You do not. You do not. Because it's not relying on the water to provide
frictionless spin.
Well, no, that's being moved by the motor, and the water is not helping. It's not providing any lubrication. There's ball bearings in those disposers that are sealed and will spin for years and years and years. So you do not have to run water to, you know, prevent, people think you have to run water to prevent damage. The reason you run water is to help move the waste through the disposer, but not because you're going to ruin it. I, when I was an inspector, people used to yell at me for running the disposer. I was going to break. I was going to ruin it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. Go away.
I'm still going to run the water. I'm just going to do it.
So yeah, no, you don't have to run the water. So
I'm
there you go.
Do it.
If you're going to get a disposer, that's what to look for. Good luck.
And run the water.
And run the water. If you don't want to hear anybody complaining.
Heading over to Cambridge, Mass., we've got Jeff on the line. What's happening at your money pit?
Down in the basement, I want to be able to insulate it so I can put storage down there.
Okay.
Cabinets, but I want to do it the proper way. We jacked the house up and put a concrete foundation with a 10-inch wall, and I coated it with the Drylock paint. And I was reading a magazine about the solid foam insulation, and I want to, that's on the outside of the foundation, and I want to make sure that I'm not doing myself harm by putting it on the inside also to lock moisture in there that may, come up in capillary action from the footing. So I just wanted to check with you the best way to go about that. I want to use that probably 2-inch. Or an inch and a half foam, depending upon how much room I have to do that, and then build stud walls.
Yeah. So perfectly acceptable. I'm glad you're paying attention to moisture issues. Those are going to source in your area of the country, not from rising water, but basically from a problem with your drainage system, gutters that are undersized or not extended out away from the house far enough and that sort of thing. So just make sure you're really careful about having all that water away from the house, that the grading slopes away and the downspouts are extended. In terms of the insulation, so are you going to put stud walls up in the basement? Is that what you want to do?
Yes.
So you have lots of options here. You can use a solid insulation board such as what you've described right on the foundation. You could also use a product like mineral wool insulation inside the stud bays, which is a very moisture resistant stone-based insulation that is very, very effective. And I like it because it's kind of stiff, so it's easy to handle. I'm doing a big mineral wool project myself now, putting that in floors right above a crawl space foundation for the same reason. Or you could go with spray foam if you really want to have a real tight space. That's going to be a lot more expensive. But I don't see any issues with that. You could do any of those three methods, and it will definitely make that space much more comfortable. And then, of course, you're going to want to add some heat into that basement space because you're in a cold area of the country. And by adding a little heat, you keep the humidity actually in check because that heat helps to make it drier in that space as well.
Okay. I have a couple of boilers there, indirect with water heaters, and I could just add probably a couple of baseboard sections into that.
Yep.
Another question I have is the outside of the foundation from the ground up, can I paint that? Going back to the, I don't want to lock moisture in there, but it'd be okay to put some paint on the outside, make it look good?
Yeah, just remember, what comes after paint, repaint, more paint. All right, Jeff.
Really enjoy your show. It's really, really helpful. I learned a lot.
Now we've got Christina in Missouri on the line who is about to tackle a bathroom renovation, but has a lot of questions. Tell us about the project.
So my project, it's the master bathroom, and it's one of those bathrooms where it has the tub, and there's a window, a big window right above the tub, and a very, very narrow shower. And so I would like to be able to remove the shower and the tub out completely and make an expanded shower and use the space where the shower is at, make that into storage. And so my question is, what do I do with the window? Do I like the light that comes in, but it's very, very drafty. So if I were to replace the window, would I use like a double pane or triple pane? Or if I were to kind of shore up the window, then would that mean probably obviously some masonry work that needs to be done? I'm just trying to figure out what is the most cost effective and, quickest way, I guess, to be able to resolve the window issue.
You might want to look into privacy windows. You know, there's some really pretty privacy windows that are designed for bathrooms. I'm thinking of one that looks like glass block. Leslie, you know, the kind that has like sort of the wavy glass to it. It's not designed to open, but it brings a lot of light in.
But there are, you know, double hung windows that are privacy glass as well that are meant for bathroom spaces. I mean, otherwise, how would the window that's directly next to my toilet function? I mean, it's amazing. It's the worst place for it, but luckily the glass is, you know, clouded in a way. So there are options that give you the privacy within the glass, but also the functionality of the window. But you definitely do need to upgrade that window system that you have so you're not getting those drafts.
Right. So I have seen some frosted glass and, you know, in other like Instagram pictures and things like that. But are those types of windows, are they like double pane windows? Do they even, I don't even know. I guess, I mean, I have a lot of research to do.
Those type of decorative windows with the frosted glass, they are available and we call that thermal pane. Double panes, thermal pane windows. Certainly you could buy a privacy window that is an Energy Star rated window. That's another good thing to look for. The other thing I'll point out is make sure that the bathroom, I don't know if your bathroom has a ventilation fan in it, because sometimes bathrooms with windows don't have these vent fans. But you're definitely going to need to add one, especially if you decide to use a non-openable window. And even if not, if you can do the renovation, I would add a bath fan at the same time.
Okay, yep, we do have one. And I was thinking of replacing that one also because I think it's one of those things where if I'm going to do the upgrades, I might as well upgrade that too. So,
yeah, you know the four most important words? You know the four most expensive words for bathroom renovations while you're at it?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Well, it's all the small things that start adding up that make the project that much more expensive. But having a plan, having a good plan, and doing my research and part of the call to you was part of that. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Good luck with this project.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Well, are you itching to get your garden growing but wondering what you can start planting this early in the season? Well, now's actually the best time to plant some of those cool season crops. And in fact, if you don't start growing them to maturity in cooler weather, you're not going to see the best results. And you'll notice they could also have a kind of bitter flavor to them.
Now, some of these root crops need 90 days to reach maturity, but others, such as those winter varieties of radishes, they're ready to begin harvesting in 22 days from seeding, and radishes are so good. And it's amazing how many varieties of radishes there are out there. Spicy, mustardy, I mean, all kinds of radishes. They're so yummy.
They definitely are. And now that you've got a bunch of fresh veggies, What are you going to do with them? Well, you can add them to a leafy green salad. Those are also perfect for cool weather growing. We're talking about lettuces like Swiss chard, arugula, and the leafless lettuces.
All right. Now, if you like snow peas and you want them in your salad, go right ahead because they love to grow in this weather as well. Yeah, snow peas. Turns out they love snow.
Go figure. For more details, you can check out Green Goodness, 12 veggies you can plant right now on MoneyPit.com.
What kind of project are you guys tackling this weekend? Perhaps you're looking at your kitchen and thinking maybe it needs a little update? Well, if you love the look of granite, but you just haven't been able to handle the expense, we're giving away a brand new product from Deich Coatings today that gives you a sparkling granite surface at a fraction of the cost of real granite. It's called LuxRock Solid Surface Granite Countertop Kit, and one kit covers 40 square feet of countertop, which makes it perfect for updating a kitchen or a bath. It goes on super easy over a countertop. It transforms your old countertop into a beautiful new smooth stone surface that looks and performs just like the real granite does. And there's 5 color options available, and the whole transformation is only going to take 2 days. So it is definitely a DIY project.
Get retails for $299 at Home Depot, Lowe's, or at DeichCoatings.com. But we've got one to give away today to one lucky listener. But to win it, you got to be in it, and that means you got to pick up the phone and call us at 888-MONEYPIT with your question or post your questions at moneypit.com/ask.
Heading out to Chili, Ohio, we've got Kirk on the line who's looking to make the floors a little warmer. Tell us about your project.
I'm putting an addition onto the back of the house, and I was wondering about doing in-floor heating, wondering about running that through the fireplace. Other possibility I do have some heat ducts that I can run over. And the other question is about flooring. It's a two-story addition, will be used partially for sales. Wondered about putting tile on the floor. Also, another possibility would be doing textured concrete.
That's an interesting idea, Kirk, to run your heating pipes for your fireplace, but I got to say that's probably the least efficient way I can imagine you trying to distribute heat.
I mean, is that even a thing?
I don't think so. I've never heard it. I give them credit for the creativeness of it, but, you know, look, a boiler exists for a reason, to efficiently heat water, circulate it through plumbing pipes, in which case for underfloor heating, you could use PEX. There's actually special floor sheathing that has grooves in it where you can run the PEX pipe in the grooves. And then put your finished floor on top of that, which could be any kind of finished floor. But I don't think you can run this through a fireplace in the sense that use the fireplace as the heating element. It's not going to generate enough. It's not designed to do that. You'd have to have a wood burning fire going all the time, or a coal burning fire going all the time, you know, or a pellet burning stove going all the time. It just makes no sense whatsoever. So we give you credit for the idea, for the energy, for the enthusiasm, but really bad idea. If you want in-floor heating, though, that is a really good idea. And if you've got hot water heat, you do it with PEX. Now, if you got hot air heat, you really can't use hot air heat to do underfloor heating. In that case, what you would have to do is use electric heat on top of the slab. And in that case,
like
it would
as a
be
separate
really,
thing.
Yeah, it would be expensive. So if you got hot water and you can do it with PEX piping, that'd be the way to go, but not to heat the water using the fireplace. Well, if you're like most of us, garages are spaces where we store everything except a car, of course. It's also where we store toys and toxins side by side. So it's important to keep the space super clean, organized, and therefore safe.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is the space in my house that gets the most cluttered over winter. I mean, you have all those items that you can't use because it's cold outside, bikes, balls, toys, yet for some reason my kids find a way to take them all out, move everything around, get to other stuff, and just keep moving and making more and more of a mess. Plus, you've got all your winter gear in there as well. And this truly is the only space at home where you probably store things like antifreeze and a chemical de-icer right next to a skateboard and a basketball. So, I mean, it's all kind of in the same spot, and it's definitely not ideal.
That's right. So get rid of the empty containers of chemicals that you might have used over the winter. And if you've got gasoline containers, say for lawn equipment or generators, they need to be emptied because you can't store gas long in them unless you are treating it, because it's going to go bad after about 30 days.
Yeah, you're also going to want to sweep up any salt or sand that just gets tracked in from being outside in these winter months. You're going to want to move sleds, shovels, all those scrapers right to the back of the garage, and then get your hands on those sporting equipment, the lawn equipment, and bring all of that forward. I mean, I kind of try to cycle through a rotation, but again, the kids have other plans and like seem to just completely disregard any sense of organization in the garage. So I think it's smart to bring in things that will help you stay organized and keep things in their right place and just get rid of stuff you don't need.
It's also a good time to get rid of things you no longer use or anything that might be in bad condition. So do it now, clean out, and you'll have the entire summer to fill it right back up again.
Now we've got Ann on the line who's feeling the chill. What's going on with the insulation at your place?
I was just wondering what the best way or best product to use for a very drafty house around the windows, underneath the floor, feeling like it's coming through on the base of the cabinets in the kitchen. Drafty.
So, Ann, tackling drafts is a constant battle for you. So I'm going to give you a couple of tips. First of all, with respect to the windows, you need to figure out where these drafts are coming in. If the weather stripping is worn or missing in, say, their old double-hung windows, then that needs to be replaced. I often find, though, that you'll get drafts that'll be around the outside of the molding. Even on the inside of the house, that casing, that trim, will sometimes allow air to draft in from the outside, especially on a windy day. So for those areas, we recommend that you caulk the outside perimeter. And for the windows themselves, you should be adding new weather stripping to that. Now, you also mentioned being very chilly towards the floor and the base cabinet. So that might be, to me, Leslie, it sounds like it could be the box beam. You know, the floor underneath that part of the house.
It's just open.
Yeah, it may not be insulated. You know, that box beam, which is where the floor joists sort of intersect with the outside of the house, that area needs to be insulated. And in fact, if you have an unfinished crawl space, the floor system itself needs to be insulated. So I would start there with weather stripping the windows. And secondly, I would insulate the floor underneath that area and especially that box beam area. And if you want to go the extra mile, you could also use a product like Great Stuff to seal any large gaps that are in there where air might be coming in. You know, you can do your own kind of draft inspection if the wind's blowing right just by sort of holding the back of your hand against the window area, not touching the window, but just right up against it, because I find that the back of my hand is much more sensitive than my palm, and I can really pinpoint drafts sometimes by doing that.
Jeff from Syracuse, New York, reached out to Team Money Pit and says, I have hot water heat and need to replace my 40-year-old boiler. I'm wondering if it makes sense to replace the water heater at the same time.
You know, probably, Jeff, because what I would recommend you do is what we did a couple of years back, and that we replaced a boiler and a water heater at the same time, and we did it with what's called a combi unit. Now, combis are combination boilers and water heaters that are tankless. And the first thing that's interesting about a combi system is it's very small. My combi system, my boiler, it hangs on the wall. And aside from the pipes that are attached to it, the main unit itself is pretty much the same size as, I think, our spice cabinet, which is probably 18 inches wide and about 30 inches tall. I mean, it's really a small piece of equipment. It also doesn't have any wasted heat like coming off the jacket. A lot of old boilers do. In fact, when we installed ours, I had to insulate the entire first floor because a lot of the old heat used to warm it. Now that wasn't happening anymore, so I definitely needed to insulate it. And thirdly, it's far more efficient than either the water heater or the boiler by itself. And lastly, you probably find that there are rebates available right now or tax credits that are available for these efficient systems. So I would definitely tell you to look into a Weil McLean combi. That's the brand that I use. There are others as well. I chose that because I knew that brand well, but certainly talk to some different professionals and consider using a combi system and replacing both the water heater and the boiler at once.
All right, now we've got Zane in North Carolina who's refinishing an oak table. Zane says, hey, I love your show and I need your help. I'm refinishing a 25-year-old oak kitchen table with a lot of dirt has settled into the grain. I sanded a small test area and refinished it, and I'm happy with the result, but I had to scrape each grain with a toothpick to remove the dirt. That is a lot of work.
That's a lot of work, yeah. Well, you know, I'm actually refinishing some old cabinets right now, and I'm talking about cabinets from the 60s, built really, really well. I mean, solid, but they're old, so they are dirty, and I needed to get them really clean. So I used a product called a deglosser. You may have it here called liquid sandpaper. And basically, I used the Crud Cutter brand, and what I did was I took the doors off, in my case, and I soaked it with this stuff, not for a long time, but I saturated it. And then I rubbed it with a Scotch pad. You know those green Scotch pads? They come in different abrasion levels. The green one is kind of like a medium grit. And it did a really good job of loosening up all the dirt that was stuck to it. It got into the grain. If there were some spots where it was deep, I would use a nylon bristle brush with that deglosser and rub it in there. And then once I was happy with the level of cleaning, I would wipe it all off with a damp cloth. I'll tell you what, you couldn't really see the dirt it was being picked up when you were doing the project. But Leslie, as soon as I rinsed that rag out, you could see all the muddy water that came out of it. So it worked really, really well. Now, the other option is to machine sand it. And if you're going to machine sand it, I would use like a vibrating sander. I would start with 100 grit, and then I would switch to 180 and then finish it off with like a 220. It's going to have to do that in stages. So you're going to basically be sanding down through that grain and into that dirt, and that should do the trick.
All right, Zane, I hope that helps you out, because oak tables and oak in general does have a super deep grain pattern. So you want to efficiently and effectively get rid of whatever dirt and yuck you've gotten there, and that should do the trick.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show, on air and online at moneypit.com. We hope that you guys are enjoying your day as we all wait patiently for spring, which is just around the corner. And as you're waiting patiently, if you're thinking about projects that you really, really, really want to get done, you don't know if you can do it yourself, you think you can, maybe you just need a couple of tips, or maybe you should hire a pro, reach out to us anytime 24/7 at 1-888-MONEYPIT, because we will always be here to help. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself,
but you don't have to do it alone.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.